You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings.
They can feel like bathing suits. What they, you know, what.
Finish it up. Sometimes you gotta take them off.
What the hell?
What they show is revealing, but what they conceal is vital, right? So. Are you starting?
Oh, I just assumed Sheila was the host.
Everybody, Sheil Kapadia here, Birds with Friends, joined by Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and Marissa Dunn. I might have said Marissa Morris last time. I'm still getting used to that. Hosting here today, we don't have a lot to talk about. It's June 16th in Eagle season. Bo is back. Bo, the audience wants to know, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'd be lying if I said my feelings weren't a little bit hurt.
By what?
I listened to the podcast last week. Very good episode. Great stuff. Good Eagles talk. Good non-Eagles talk. But I mean, I feel like I've been like buried. I feel like there's a knife in my back. Marissa, hit the recording.
I always compliment Bo for his ability as a host. I think Shield's done a terrific job as a host. The preparation, the way the show has moved, right? He's been engaging.
He's gonna be so mad.
He's been engaging.
This.
He's doing a good job mixing in football, non-football, and just his cadence has been very host-like. He's brought us in and out of breaks well. I don't know if Shields auditioning for one of the big seats that are opening in Philly right now, but Shields doing an outstanding job. So I think that I'm curious to hear Bo's show notes on this one.
I'm sure he will have critical notes, and I'm sure he won't be happy by the way you closed there, but I'm happy about it. As we say jokingly in the Kapadia household, because we like to make fun of online language, show me the lie. We say that constantly.
I mean, the level of like of gazzing up there. I don't know if I mean it was nauseating.
Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, no, you can did a good job, Zach. Nothing. I didn't hear anything there that I thought was.
I was going to say territorial rights on hosting.
Yeah.
All right. So our show today, I've got 20 questions here. For you guys, some are more in depth, some are less in depth. But I got to start number one, Zach. Off the top, you have the opportunity now. Would you like to kick me off the show entirely and just
you
and Sheil can have the show moving forward?
No way. I think you are an outstanding host, as I've said on a number of occasions. And I think what makes show special is the four of us working in synergy. So.
Okay.
But maybe mix me in as a host a little more often.
What's the expression? The strength of the wolf is or the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack, right?
Nice. I like that.
So,
I don't know. Well, speaking of mixing people in, I got to tell you, I liked
Michael Jordan's better. There's no I in team, but there is an I in win. Who says? Silence.
I was trying to think of another. I was trying to think of another one, and nothing came to mind. So, okay. Unfortunately, you win that round. speaking of like mixing people in, I gotta say my number one takeaway from that episode, we got to get more Marissa in the show.
I agree, he spoke to me, the air fryer.
You know, yeah. Washing my towels.
You gotta know. I thought the
highlight of the episode was the kid conversation and Marissa coming so strong to the rack. Double that, she says.
I mean,
double that on the Julian Lurie conversation.
Yeah. Jessica had a lot of Marissa notes after the episode. She goes, "Marissa, auntie is living the life. New towel every day. Cleaning the air fryer before she goes to
bed. Yeah.
She's like, how about that baby conversation? Wow. She's like, that was shocking.
So I did tell Michael about it. I didn't let him listen to it because he would totally roll his eyes if I let him listen to everything I said. But he was just like, yeah, sure. So I'm taking that as he's on board.
Nice. Okay, that was the Browns offensive line meeting room.
What'd you say?
You're going to be playing that clip in the Browns offensive line meeting room. Yeah.
That's right. That was my question number two was, have you had that was Michael aware of the conversation? So thank
you. Yeah, I didn't actually play him the clip because I think he would be like, oh my God, why did you say all of that? But yeah, I just gave him like the synopsis and he was on board, I think. I'm going to take it like he was. So to be determined.
2.5.
Yep. I don't know, Bo, we need your answer on that.
Yeah. Are you contributing or not?
I would say don't count on me.
Okay. But mistakes happen. We haven't closed the book like the Capadias have. Okay.
But yeah.
Do you need a guy? Let me know. Dr. Van Wiener or whatever. He did have a name like that, which was funny. Yes.
All right. Number three, let's get to some Eagles talk.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. Jessica's third note was, it's so weird that you talk about scrotums. So
that was, Well, I'll get to scrotums. I got a scrotum note on here.
Okay, good. Keep them listening. That's a tease right there.
That's exactly right. That's a professional host right there. Okay, number three. Let's talk a little Eagles here. Now that the offseason is over, we're in the lull, we can look back on the offseason as a whole. Give me your number one best move of the Eagles offseason. Zach, I will start with you.
Hassan Reddick. I point that one out because they needed to upgrade their pass rush this offseason. He has, the past 2 years, he's had better sack production in each of those years than anyone on the Eagles roster has ever had in their career. I don't think it's getting enough attention locally. You know, I understand A.J. Brown's a huge addition. I understand Jordan Davis is a huge addition. But I don't think the significance of Hassan Reddick is really being appreciated locally like it's going to become the season when you see him coming around the edge.
I think I would say it's A.J. Brown, but I think to your point, the difference is like the opportunity cost. Like, Hassan Reddick was just money. A.J. Brown did cost, you know, a first-round pick and a third-round pick. That's a little bit different. I just think that A.J. Brown changes their ceiling this year much more than Hassan Reddick does. I feel like Hassan Reddick checked a box that they needed to address the pass rush to be competent, and I feel like A.J. Brown really, like, in some way on offense is, like, the force-multiplying missing piece. I think their ceiling goes from potential playoff team to, you know, could be a top two seed in the NFC potentially because of A.J. Brown. What do you think, Shiel?
I have A.J. I mean, I don't know. Was I supposed to prepare for this or are we talking off the cuff here?
Off the cuff on this one, yeah.
Okay. I would say A.J. Brown. I mean, I think that, again, I feel like I've repeated myself here, but I think when Eagles fans are able to watch this guy on a snap-to-snap basis, week-to-week basis, they're going to be stunned. I mean, I don't know if this is a crazy comment. Like, he has a Hall of Fame ceiling. I mean, you're talking about somebody who you're adding 24 years old, who if his career, if he stays healthy, could be the best wide receiver in franchise history. I don't think this is hyperbole that I'm speaking with. When you look at his age, what he's done so far, his skill set, man, whether it's Jalen Hurts or somebody else, I mean, the numbers could just be through the roof, and not just the numbers, the impact, how he makes defenses account for certain things, the physicality he's going to bring. I mean, he's going to have plays where he is going to throw cornerbacks to the ground and get in the end zone. That's going to get you out of your seat, off the couch, whatever. And so not only for this season, but looking ahead, and we're looking at that quarterback situation, is Jalen Hurts fine? If it's not Jalen Hurts, now all of a sudden you're looking at, is Philly a attractive destination for like a top-end veteran quarterback? The answer with AJ Brown in the fold is absolutely yes. So maybe I'm Kapadia cursing him. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be a bust or suffer an injury. I hope not. But I just see him when I'm just looking at this roster. You're right, Reddick. I thought was a strong move. I think he has a chance to be a great player for them for years to come. But if I'm going to tout that offensive efficiency over everything else, and that's all that matters, then I got to go with AJ Brown, even given what you gave up for.
All right. So along those lines, you know, we've talked about before, sometimes the best moves are the moves you don't make, right, Zach? And so let's think about some of the alternate timelines that could
happen. I like this. I was going to bring this up. I like
for the Eagles this offseason. So this is question number four. Which of these alternate history offseasons do you like best? And are any of them preferable to how things actually played out? So let's go number one. Instead of AJ Brown and Cam Jurgens, you have Calvin Ridley and Lewis Cine. So in other words, the Calvin Ridley doesn't get suspended. They trade a second round pick for him instead of a first and third for AJ Brown. And then they trade back in that second pick and draft Georgia safety Lewis Cine. Instead of James Bradbury and Kaiser White, they sign Marcus Williams for the big money deal at safety that he signed with the Ravens. So obviously he signs that deal and there's less money to spend on Bradbury and Kaiser White. Instead of A.J. Brown, they sign Allen Robinson and draft George Karlaftis at number 18 or 19. Or instead of A.J. Brown, Jordan Davis, and Cam Jurgens, they trade for Russell Wilson. All of those four things they tried to do, would any of them have landed them in a better spot than they ended up having not been able to pull those things off?
So not the first one. Right.
I agree. Yeah. I think Brown's better than Calvin Ridley.
Yes.
Younger, of course.
Yes. The second one. So are they using, you know, are they signing a minimum salary or thereabouts veteran, veteran cornerback to? No,
I think if they sign Marcus Williams, they're sticking with the Zach McPherson competition.
Okay. So then in that situation, I'd rather Bradbury and Kaiser White. I'd rather the outcome that occurred.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they draft a corner in the second or third round.
I would say I'm more on the fence with that one. Looking at it, I think I probably do lean your way. You know, I like Kaiser White as a free agent. He's another guy who's young. So if he plays well, he actually can be a core player for you. Bradbury's a little bit
different. But it is a one-year deal.
Yeah. So... you could definitely make the case for Marcus Williams there. I think it's a toss-up. I think water gun to the abdomen. I might rather have Bradbury and White.
Okay. Number third one was AJ Brown. Third one's Allen Robinson for
me. Yeah, that one's not even close to me.
AJ Brown.
I mean, Allen Robinson's a huge question mark in my opinion this year. So yeah, I would definitely rather have Brown. The last one's probably the toughest.
Yeah.
Brown, Davis, and what was it?
Jurgens.
Or Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson with this team as currently constructed, so what picks?
With no AJ Brown.
But are you giving up future picks? Do I have my future picks?
Let's say one of the two future firsts.
Are you able to trade three firsts,
including two this year, one next year, and a second this year?
Are you able to trade Hurts for a pick?
Good question.
Yeah, sure. Let's say you get a second round pick for Jalen Hurts.
I would take Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to take the most likely scenario is you're going to have to take a shot on a quarterback at some point. It's hard when there are opportunities. Russell Wilson with this offensive line, now you're looking at Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, and Goddard. So it's not it's certainly not as good.
And Alec Pierce or, you know, like a second round wide receiver.
Jeez, that's tough for me. I mean,
had a negative reaction to the idea of Alec Pierce in the second round.
I know.
You're just throwing a name out there.
George Pickens, let's say.
I don't know. It's tough. I'm having trouble answering it. I mean, I can understand wanting to sort of stay patient and build the team around and then wait for that quarterback to pounce. Now, if you're we could be talking at this time next year and they haven't made a move at quarterback and Zach would be like, remember last June, Sheil, you were saying you didn't know. And now they still don't have a quarterback and they could have had Russell Wilson. So I could go, I mean, I'm sort of leaning towards the players.
Interesting.
I think I lean towards what they did
Not strongly. I don't feel strongly though.
I think I sort of agree. I don't want to gas him up too much, but like the state of the roster right now, along with the resources and like the age of everything, everything is in a really good spot. And obviously they need to find that quarterback, but they are in a position to be able to, as you said before, Shiel, with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, attract a quarterback if there's a veteran out there. And they have, I still think they don't have enough resources to trade up to like one or two. If there's a quarterback, I just don't think a team's going to trade down, but like they're in great shape.
You know, I just think Russell Wilson's a rise the tide player. Like everything changes when you bring him in the organization.
Yeah. Like if you can give me Brown with Russell Wilson, then I'm sold. It's a no brainer. Oh, sure. And who's to say that wouldn't have been on the, so would they still have had a second rounder this year? I can't remember all their draft picks.
Well, yeah, so they would have had two. Remember they had three first rounders in my, okay. Well, now if they did the Russell Wilson deal, they probably don't do that Saints deal. Let's say they trade two first rounders this year, a second rounder this year, and a first rounder next year. Let's say that was a deal. So they would still have one first round pick.
That's interesting.
They could have done the AJ Brown.
So they could have done a first this year, a second next year.
Potentially.
What did they give up? A first and a third? What did they give up for AJ Brown?
First and a third.
So they could have still done that deal.
But do they have $25 million to give AJ Brown, if they bring in Russell
Wilson.
That's
a good question.
Right. So
I think they could figure it out. Yeah. So you could either. And by the way, Jalen Hurts might have been an attractive option for the Titans. I mean, think about how they play. Mm. They draft Malik Willis. They have Tannehill. So would there have been a first round pick, Jalen Hurts, and something else? So that, you know, that's the offseason. If you want to dream of the offseason, that's the one right there where you end up with Russell Wilson and AJ Brown. And now all of a sudden you're a Super Bowl contender right now and probably for the next 3 years.
I also think the way things actually would have played out if they had acquired Russell Wilson is they probably would have been more aggressive in finding that receiver even earlier in the offseason. They wouldn't have
exactly waited. You're giving up. Yeah. Picks. Who cares? You're in FDM picks mode if you're doing that and saying go win the Super Bowl right now. So it totally changes your mindset. I mean, the long term beyond 3 years is like, who cares? You'll let Julian Lurie and Marissa's five kids handle that at that point. Yeah.
Maybe we can get, now the age is too off. Never mind. Moving on.
Okay. I'm not sure on that one.
I don't know where you were going with that, but yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe we can get one of the five children to marry into the Lurie family and eventually take over the ownership, but we're talking like a 30-year age difference. Let's be fair here.
Well, we're not going to judge how Marissa parents their children.
Next question, number five. How much did you guys get paid by Big Air Fryer, and was it more or less than Zach got paid by Bulletproof Coffee?
Less.
So you're not Team Air Fryer, Bo?
I don't have an air fryer. I'm not against it, but I mean, that was like a paid advertisement. That conversation.
What are you talking about? We didn't name a single brand of air fryer. How could it be an advertisement?
How many brands could there be?
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. I did have a lot of Twitter conversations, DMs about the air fryer. Yes. I mean, a lot going on there.
I did have a quick question for Marissa on this topic, because immediately after the podcast, I said to Emily, we're supposed to be washing this every day. And she said she uses aluminum foil in there, so you don't have to wash it.
Another listener suggested that.
Okay. Yes, and that's life-changing. I have not tried that yet, but somebody did tweet at us that you can do that. And, that would save so much. Especially when you're just reheating something. I would definitely, if I can use aluminum, I didn't know you could. Okay, I'm not, like, the best with that kind of stuff. Science was not real. I know you can't put aluminum foil into the microwave.
I know nothing about that stuff. Yeah.
Science.
Don't do the microwave. Rachel gets on me for some things I put in the microwave sometimes.
Yeah. So it's just I didn't know. Nothing metal.
I'm not a crazy person.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I'm definitely going to try the aluminum foil, especially if you're just heating something. I would definitely save a lot of cleaning time for sure. So thanks to the listeners and you for pointing that out.
Yeah, and someone else sent a parchment paper. Did you see this? Or was this just me? Yeah, like you order them on Amazon and it's kind of the same thing as aluminum, but it's a different thing. I think we were looking for something a little more environmentally friendly. I don't know that these were, but there's got to be options out there.
I will definitely try them.
Next question for Shiel. Is it Rensis Liquort or Liquort Rensis?
Liquort. Liquor. Somebody said that they were pronouncing it wrong for their whole life until the podcast.
I thought Zach's take about not needing to be named after him was one of the best takes of the episode. That was a good job. I appreciate that.
You're a great host. Thank you. Zach would have crushed in 1911. He would have had all these amazing ideas that were so obvious. 100 years later, 110 years later.
The top of the Berman scale would have been excited about this. Excited for this. Okay, so let's dial it back from the excitement that we were just talking about and how great a shape the roster is in. There are so many feel-good vibes about the team heading into the team right now. Is there any scenario you can see where this season goes so wrong, in part because these expectations are so high, that things crater to the extent that it leads to like significant changes next offseason? Is there any nightmare scenario you think is possible?
Ooh, significant changes. I don't see a head coaching change, right? Like I think there would be personnel change or staff changes before there'd be a head coaching change. But where this could go wrong, I think my simple answer is if Jalen Hurts isn't consistent enough, right? Like we're expecting him to take a step this year, even if it's not a step into top 8, top 10 status, we're expecting him to take a step into being better than he was last year. If he doesn't progress, if he stagnates or if he regresses, then this team is not the high upside team that we think it is. So I think that the bad scenario is Jalen Hurts doesn't progress.
I think they're pretty high floor. I mean, they've almost made it so that even if he stays the same or regresses, the supporting cast around him is better. I mean, they were 11th in offensive DVOA last season. So you're talking about if the quarterback makes a slight progression, you could potentially hop into that top 8. You've got one of the easiest schedules in the entire NFL. We've talked about the offensive line depth. I mean, you can, theoretically withstand some injuries there on the offensive line. Now, if A.J. Brown were to go down with a significant injury, that would certainly impact it. But again, now you're looking at the supporting cast you kind of had last year. And when you were 11th in offensive DVOA, defensively, I mean, that to me is, if you're talking about changes, like if I'm Howie Roseman and this defense is not in the top,
I'll get to this. Hold your thought.
Okay.
On that.
All right. Well, that's where I was thinking. But even that, I mean, I don't know that the floor is so low. Like you have veterans, you have a defensive lineman. And so I just think that there's a lot of circumstances in place where I'm having trouble. Listen, it always exists. We don't account for ceiling and floor being as low as they actually are most of the times.
There are injuries all over the place.
Yeah, so you can play back this clip if they're 4-13 or something for sure, but it's hard for me to project what that would be. I mean, even if Jalen Hurts were to go down with a season-ending injury, like, I don't know, is there going to be a drop-off? You can have that conversation. Is it going to be a significant drop-off with Gardner Minshew? I still think they're a pretty competitive team with Gardner Minshew, so it's hard for me right now to kind of, barring just the worst 32nd and adjusted games lost and everybody's going down and Kelsey's going down and Lane Johnson's going down and Mailata's going down, barring something like that, it's hard for me to see them really as like one of the worst teams in the NFL next year, to the point where you're talking about blowing stuff up after the season.
I just think that from a Sirianni standpoint, it's worth thinking about how ahead of schedule they are. You know, we've talked so much about how when Lurie hired him, he was saying we're excited about the coach he can become. This was expected to be much more of a slow process, I think. And he goes out and exceeds expectations significantly in year one, the only rookie head coach to make the playoffs. Now, they sort of push chips into the table that this is a team with maybe division winning expectations, at least. Like, Is he ready for that? I think that he probably is, but I think there's a scenario where now the expectations are so high, so much higher than we expected them to be in year two, that if they disappoint and go, 6-11 or whatever, that's much more heat on him than you might have otherwise thought in year two.
Yeah, especially considering how he probably feels great about how the offseason has gone and could point to, hey, all of you thought my offseason was great too. And now we're 6-11 or 7-10. So I think I was going to get to Sirianni in a later question based on what you sent earlier. But Zach, you really could have got Bo by telling him you're excited about the host he can become.
That's good.
Let's keep that in the pocket. Yeah.
I think the other nightmare scenario, like let's say Hurts is really bad, takes a step back, they're still in the mix, and they pull the trigger on Minshew or something, and he plays okay, and then it leads to sort of a fissure in the locker room, camps on both sides of the quarterback thing. Maybe that's the kind of thing that, I don't know, unlikely, but.
I mean, a Hurts Minshew divided locker room would really be something.
I'm telling you. Okay, to your point, Shield, this question is to you, what you were going on about before. We know how much you love a Johnny Gantz. How good does the Eagles' defense have to be for you to change your opinion about him after year one, given all the upgrades they've made?
Well, I mean, I would have to go through every roster. I'm looking at their depth chart here and their talent. And so, I mean, if I'll frame it this way. If I'm Howie Roseman, I'm telling Jeffrey, based on what we did this offseason, this better be a top 10 defense in 2022. We can withstand injuries. We've gotten, you know, it seems like Johnny Gantz has some input on personnel. I don't know. You guys might be able to tell me more if I'm right or wrong about that. But like, other than safety, it's a strong group. And so for me to change my opinion, I mean, if they're top 10, I will say he's kind of coached them to their talent. If you get better than that, I mean, there's an eye test element to this. If there's some creativity, if we say, man, look at what they're doing with Hassan Reddick or Jordan Davis or N'Kobe Dean. Like, I want the film grinders. I want the nerds to be pointing out, oh, look at this. Wow, look at this cover. Look at, oh, my gosh, they duped Dak Prescott into this interception on 3rd and 7. Look at Marcus Epps rotating late here and stuff is clicking. Then I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was a hard, you know, first year. No one's great at that. Not a lot of people are great at that job the first time doing it. And so now he got more talent and he grew into it. And he is doing a great job. I'm perfectly open to that. On the flip side, if this is like the 15th or lower defense with this talent, then I will almost be to the point where I've been like, I don't get it. You have 2 years of evidence that he, you know, I've always said defensive coordinator, I want more with less. And how did you framed it the right way, but more with more, really more with more. Like if you're talented, like sounds get up right there. Yeah. So to me, that's just the easiest way to judge it. So
I think one way to frame this, and I pause before I say it, because I don't know what jobs are going to be available next off season or what ownership at those jobs is going to be looking for. But one way to frame this is that one way or the other, he's not going to be here next year, right? If they're really good, then he'll be a particularly attractive coaching candidate. If he had the attention that he had last offseason, if they're a top 10 defense and the remarks about the scheme and the way they're playing are as Shield described, and knowing the way the league thinks about Jonathan as kind of a person and as a leader.
Jonathan.
Well, that's his name.
I know, but
am I supposed to call him Johnny Gantz?
I can call him Gannon.
Johnny Gantz.
Okay, Gannon as a.
No. You wrote a whole story about how he's good with first names. You're self-referencing. It's a
there
good
you
job.
Go. I appreciate that. So I think he'll be high atop the coaching candidate list next year, as Howie said on draft night. They're only renting Gannon, in their opinion. But the flip side is if they underperform, then you can make a strong case that, you know, perhaps they need a different voice or a different scheme or something like that. So one way to look at this is if they're really good, he's somewhere else. And if they're not good, then he's somewhere else.
Yeah, I think I've already said this before, but it's very similar to the Jalen Hurts situation for me. They've given him everything he could possibly need. Now they can properly evaluate him. If he's good, they'll be good. If he's not, you know, they'll be mediocre. But and maybe also to Zach's point, he just won't be here. Zach, I'm curious. You know, the scrotum thing, it's fine. It's a part of the body. Everybody should be aware of that. But we've always thought this was a family show. And for you to come out so blue with those words, I'm curious, like, what was the cursing policy in the Berman household growing up? Did you ever have soap in the mouth? What was the deal?
Well, real quick, I've never had a scent that started with me. You know, the scrotum thing, right? Like, I had really? No idea where you're going with that. Very I had no common. Idea where you're going with that one.
It's a good conversation no, that's a good point. Starter.
I did not curse growing up. I very seldom curse now. I
only
don't
when
know
there's what, a hot mic.
No, those, I'm sorry, I did it. Those were expressions more than anything else, right? Like I did not just utter the F word or something like that. Speaking
of that, Leela did come home the last week of school and say someone in school said the F word. But she was, of course, referring to fart. So kindergarten is a little different.
I thought she was going to quote me, and then I'd be in trouble in the body household. So
someone came home and said the ES word, elevated scrotum.
Oh, that's right.
I actually think, by the way, like I received, or I should say, we all received messages on Twitter. Like my kids were in the car when Zach said it. I was thinking if a kid goes to school,
yeah, I didn't see those either.
And says like, you know, the word I said relative to if a kid goes to school and says elevated scrotum. I think
that's anatomy. That's biology.
I think the teacher would be much more taken aback by the elevated scrotum discussion.
I think they would know that little Johnny's not going to have any more siblings if they're talking about that in their house.
Sheila, a toucan you for you. Toucan you name the two brothers who are currently on the Eagles roster.
TJ and Derek Watt.
That's correct. Zach, do you know?
TJ and JJ Watt.
I have the roster in front of me here. They have brothers on the roster?
Yes. Oh, how do you not know this?
Zach is not going to sleep tonight.
Oh, God. I hope you don't have like a vacation coming up or something. Sorry, Eberm. All right, let's keep it moving while he looks.
Who are the brothers?
The Ellises. Come on. Christian and Noah.
Luther? Oh.
Okay.
All
right. I wish everyone could see Zach's face.
Yeah, right this now. Is yeah. tough. I feel like you. I would have bet everything I own that you had this on lockdown. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, let's take a little break. Hear from our sponsors and be back with some more questions.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, back on Birds with Friends. We go to the second half of the questions now. Question 11, Zach. What is the most under-the-radar story heading into this Eagles season? This is the one question for the listeners that I told you guys to prepare for ahead of time. It was Zach's idea.
Well, the most underrated story from the off-season, right? Like I wasn't thinking going into the season. But,
okay.
Well, but kind of, so I'm going to give Bo credit here. This received a lot of attention, but I think when we look back at kind of what stories from this offseason really resonate in future years, I think Julian Lurie taking an official role in the organization for the first time is significant. And that's not to say that he's making football decisions or business decisions, but it's kind of been one of these things that has lingered behind the scenes for the past, you know, few years. When is he going to kind of take a more active role? And the fact that he's taking that he has an official role now, I think cannot be understated, because it shows the succession plan within the organization. And then the other thing that I would say is, as we look back in the offseason, I don't know if enough attention really went to Jason Kelce returning, right? Because it was one of those things, if you told me going into last year, and probably if you told Jason Kelce going into last year, that he'd be playing in the 2022 season, I would not have believed you. And the way they structured the contract in 2021 was such that they were kind of forcing a decision to be made, right? And so for him to be back and for it to almost be inevitable in February and March, I think that's a big story, because as we look at this era of the Eagles, he's one of the, two or three best players to play at the past decade.
And I would say that's also an underrated CTC right there. Highest paid center in football this year. $14 million. No other, you want me back? I was an All-Pro last year. You guys tried to get rid of me, it was multiple times. Now you're trotting me out there as the face of the franchise and putting me on WIP to defend the organization. Yeah, I'm fine doing all that. I'm comfortable doing all that. I'm good at all that. But bump it up with no hometown discount here. I didn't think he was going to get $14 million, but I think good for him to do that. I took it differently. Mine was like, what's the thing we're not talking about that we should be talking about? Are we sure this coaching staff is going to be good? Now, I will say that.
I like that.
I am bullish on a Nick Sirianni. I liked what I saw. He passed the no a-hole test. He seems to treat players well. Good connection there. Adjustments last year. There were a lot of things I liked about him. And I would say, I feel like he's going to do a good job. Having said that, they were 9-8 last year against a bunch of garbanzo bean quarterbacks. Anytime they faced a good team, they lost last year. They got their lunch handed to them, hat handed to them. What am I going for here? Butt handed to them?
Not butt eaten. That's a different thing.
No, yeah.
I would say the lunch handed to them. Is that right? I think that sounds right. Yeah.
It doesn't sound right. Anyway, in the playoffs against Tampa Bay. And so there's always that first year coach comes in, they make the playoffs, everything's looking good. Matt Nagy would come to mind there with the Chicago Bears. And we've seen many examples of this throughout the history of the NFL. And as you alluded to, expectations are different now. I mean, Shane Steichen, is he moving the needle for you at offensive coordinator? He's getting gazzed up a little bit for the play calling. Let's see. Let's see what your plan B is, Shane. And then Jonathan Gannon, we mentioned. So we might not have a great answer to this year, because, again, they have the second easiest schedule in the NFL. But I think that's sort of an under-the-radar thing. We kind of assume that they're in great shape there, maybe they might not be.
Yeah, and to your point, like when they put the staff together, it was like all of these young coaches. You're putting a staff together of teachers who are going to help build this program. But because things have like fast forwarded so much, are those guys ready to like flip the switch from teachers to, I don't know, executors or whatever the next phase is?
Let me ask you guys, do you think the staff continuity is, do you think that's just like a media storyline, or do you think that's something that could really factor into how the team does this year?
I don't see it as a big story. It's Sirianni's. Well, are you including Sirianni in the staff continuity, or you're?
Yes, that they did not. Okay. They did not make any changes. Lost Jim Bob Cooter, who was behind the scenes.
Okay. I think that matters. If the coaches are good, the first thing is like if you can upgrade, then upgrade, or if somebody wasn't doing a good job. But
and what are the odds that none of them were not replaceable, or like obviously the odds would tell us that at least one of them you could have upgraded on, right? But maybe you value the continuity.
Position wise, there's a comfort level, probably with the position coaches. So I guess I take that back. I think continuity is good if you have the right people in place.
I can't believe I missed the Ellis brothers, by the way. That bothers
Neither
me.
Can I. Honestly, never of all the things to bother you, I think that should bother you.
Yeah, that does legitimately bother me. That does legitimately bother me. I wish we can edit that out, Marissa.
I'm hoping now to give the listeners another peek behind the curtain. We're doing a double record today. We're recording ahead of the time.
Speed this up, yeah.
For next week. I'm hoping that this is going to bother you throughout next episode and throw you off your track for the draft that we're going
to
do.
All right, you got 26 minutes to get through the rest.
I think we can do it. There's really only one or two heavier ones here. So tell me what you would have done in this situation. I was at there was a little Halloween, like half Halloween party in our neighborhood yesterday. like a
half Halloween party.
I don't know. It was just they do these things on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, whatever
Has
it is.
Anyone ever heard of anything like this?
I don't think it was half Halloween. It was just a chance to get the kids out in the neighborhood, and they did like a very low level Halloween celebration. It was fun. Families around. There was a guy I saw who I have seen in the neighborhood before. I've never spoken to him, and he was wearing a vintage The Athletic Philly t-shirt, you know, meaning that he was an original subscriber. Mm. Those were only given to the very original subscribers.
I took my dad's.
Would you have said something to this person?
Absolutely.
No, definitely. I would have seen if he noticed, you know, the bald Indian man who was a part of the original staff there. You know, then he can come over. I don't know that I would have gone out of my way, especially with kids.
Right.
I generally don't like to talk to strangers.
And what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, hey, by the way, I'm Bo Wolf, or I'm Shil Kapadia. That's my shirt.
Could just been like, oh, gee, you know, one of those.
Or you could just go up to them and you could say, what do you think of The Athletic? What kind of stories do you think they need to do?
Yeah, but that feels a little like
Thank you for subscribing. Would probably
I feel like nice that's a little bit fishing too. I don't know.
I used to always do that on.
What happened is he walked past me, and I tried to make eye contact with him just in case he did the recognize. And once he passed, I wasn't going to go out of my way to see the guy. So I don't know if he's a listener. You know, say hi one day.
I used to do that on flights on Saturday mornings to games when I'd see someone reading the Inquirer, and
such a flex.
No, I would say, what do you think of their Eagles coverage?
Oh,
what do you think
of sports text?
What type of stories are they not doing? I wouldn't like reveal myself.
What do you think of that Berman guy?
I would not ask that. I would just.
What do you think of that McLean guy?
I'm sure they think very highly of that McLean guy.
Again, do not talk to strangers. It's not only for kids. This is if you are a grown up, do not talk to strangers. I mean, you want to be courteous, you want to be polite. But striking up a conversation with someone you don't know, come on.
Marissa, you would have said hi?
No one has time.
Absolutely. I would have started a full conversation. Come on.
Marissa has much better people skills than.
No, well,
Zach has great people skills. Yeah.
Depends. Sometimes.
Next question. Have you guys watched A Hustle?
Yes.
No, I've heard good things though.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. What about you?
It was fun watch. There's some plot holes for sure, but it was fun watch.
Plot great holes and references hustle? In there. Really?
Well, I was talking about it with Handsome Rich yesterday. It was good.
Okay. But what's your biggest plot hole?
The Ben Foster
No,
character.
No, whoa, whoa. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Well, I'll watch it on the airplane tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. I kind of like this question.
Now, there were a lot of Philly references in, though, right? Could they not have gotten somebody with a Birds with Friends t-shirt?
We could have used the Birds with Friends there. There was right, one day so where they were filming in our neighborhood, and I never saw that scene in the movie. But yeah, good. A lot of good Philly. I know where that is. Moments in the movie. Good stuff. Okay, so you talked about Kelsey, how he's been here for so long. There are four guys entering at least their 10th season on the team. You've got Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, and Brandon Graham. If you had to lay your turkeys, who do you think is the Eagle on the roster who is going to be here the longest? Who is going to be the longest lasting current Eagle?
Lane Johnson.
No. Sorry. Into the future. Okay. Who's going to be the next one of those? Who's going to be the guy? Now, I'll give you some of the candidates. You can tell me who you think.
I understand the question at all, Zach.
I understand the question.
Who's going to be on the team? Which current Eagle is going to be on the team the longest?
Okay.
So you've got Dallas Goedert, who's 27 years old. You got Jordan Mailata, who's 25. You got Josh Sweat, who's 25. You got A.J. Brown, who's 25. You got Milton Williams, who's 23. Devontae Smith, who's 23. Jalen Hurts, who's 23. Landon Dickerson, who's 23. Jordan Davis, who's 22. N'Kobe Dean, who's 21. Cam Jurgens, who's 22. And, of course, you've got Dick Rod, who's 30.
I think depending upon Jordan Mailata's health, I would go him because left tackles – can play longer into their career. The other thing I would say is Jordan Davis, because I think that's also a position that could play into his, you know, mid-30s if he's healthy. I'm not going to say AJ Brown because I feel like speed dependent positions or athletic dependent positions, particularly on the perimeter, you're not going to get those guys into their mid 30s that often.
Yeah, my gut was to go with Mailata because of what Zach said, premium position, contract's up. If he's playing, I mean, he should theoretically be playing really well when his contract's up again. So now you're talking about an extension. The health thing does make me nervous there. Is he going to be healthy enough to do that? I mean, Devontae Smith is not a bad one, I think. You know, he's a crafty wide receiver. If he's playing well, he seems like it would be a good culture fit regardless of the scheme. And so those were the two that came to mind.
The other one for me, I think Landon Dickerson is a good possibility here. Another position where you can last long. He can play a few positions. You know, there is injury history there too, but he's also like, you know, culture guy who they're going to want in the locker room. I feel like there's a chance he could be the guy who stays the longest.
Okay.
Okay, so if you had to water gun to your toe, you go Mailata, Zach. You go Mailata too, Shiel.
I'm gonna go Mailata, yeah.
Okay,
go
I think that's a good bet. I'll go Dickerson. Why not?
All right, we'll revisit in 12 years or whatever you said.
Sounds good, Shiel. I want to give you a chance to call me to account here. This is a conversation we had on Slack a couple weeks ago about my Indian breakfast sandwich. Had some leftover Indian food. A little Shahi paneer on the, heated it up, put it on the toasted naan, not toasted, like grilled naan, and a little like a Indian egg and cheese sandwich. Was that cultural appropriation?
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Oh, more?
Should I feel bad about it? Give me the.
No, I think it was fine. I think naan is great for any type of breakfast sandwich. I have found that when you have leftover, if you have leftover naan, and the next morning you're cooking up some eggs, some scrammy, some something else, put it right in between two slices of naan. That's going to be delicious.
Okay, I like that.
Because for the egg sandwich, you know, I don't want too much bread. You know, as Asante Samuel would say, I don't want too much thickness on that. I
agree with that. It's a perfect vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you want something a little bit thinner there. So I think that's why it's such a nice.
But also structural integrity to the naan.
No, got to. Speaking of structural integrity, how about trunk integrity? You know, we played a little golf yesterday, and I did the pull through. In the parking lot, you know, you got the two open spaces back to back. You do the pull through. So you always got to do the pull through, right? So that when you exit, you're not reversing. You're just going forward. Well, this GMC pickup truck does a backup trunk to trunk. Gets so close, I can't open my trunk to put golf clubs back there. What is that? Unbelievable. Should I have done something there?
No, but as I said to you, I think the make and model of the truck probably told you enough to know that that was not a person who was concerned about other people's well-being.
Yeah. I've driven a GMC Terrain before, Flex. I had trunk integrity with that bad boy.
I think you were right to be miffed.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I got a nice birthday present.
Does Marissa want to chime in here? Did she just unmute herself?
No, I'm just very intrigued about your guys' golf game. Michael's been very into golf lately. So a lot of golf talk in our house. Yeah.
Bo is good. I stink. Would you say I'm honestly, Bo, am I getting better or am I not getting better?
You are definitely getting better. Oh, I would say significant improvement since the first time we played.
Thank you. I feel like for the first time this summer, I understand how you're supposed to swing a golf club after about 3 years. And so now it's a matter of doing it.
Handsome Rich gave a little, you know, he's got the makings of a good swing.
Great. Handsome Rich, great golf company, I would say.
See,
can we get you to play a little golf, Zach?
Yeah.
I've never
You're
golfed
in the burbs
in my life.
Now?
I've never golfed before. I should learn, but I've never.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I've told the story. Have I told the story on the podcast, I believe?
Yeah.
My first time on a golf course?
Yeah.
Okay.
Walked inappropriately.
Yeah.
So Michael is into watching golf or playing golf?
No, playing. You can take lessons with him, Zach. He's been taking lessons. He's not that great.
Like the odd
he's actually terrible. He's really bad.
That would be a fun. That's I'd me. Like to watch oh, that documentary. Yeah.
I thought Michael would be offended if he overheard the pickup truck conversation because I feel like offensive linemen, they're all driving trucks, right?
So Michael actually does
I'm
have
sure
a
he has
truck
integrity. I'm sure he has trunk
yes.
integrity.
Yes. Yeah. He definitely does. He
was raised right.
He's actually not the best parker. Like, so he'll park like very far away. Yeah, if like parallel parking's involved, he will, and this is a lot, he will walk a mile just to not parallel park.
Really?
Like, yes.
Wow. Well, it's hard with a big truck.
Not a fan of parallel parking. Or he will pay like $60 to park in a garage versus parallel parking because it's gives him, it stresses him out.
Mm. Listen, that's what the tender's for. Yes, I'm saying.
That's right.
But he is a Ford F-150, so not the suit, like the four-door one. Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but yeah, he's really learning in like, he's excited for golf, but he's also a little like disappointed at how bad he is. Mm. So a few more lessons, hopefully he'll be getting it, but he's been going out with his friends a lot after OTs. So he's trying. Mm. Give him credit for trying.
There is an obsessive component to it that I didn't realize. Oh, yes. Where when I'm not playing, I'm thinking about like how I can hit the ball better in my head. And then I'll stop myself and be like, why aren't you thinking about like your kids right now or something? You're thinking about this stupid thing about how you could hit a golf ball better. So I don't know if that's healthy or not. I do think I have enjoyed the aspect of being old and trying something new that you suck at and trying to improve at it.
Because that, like that.
Yeah, goes away as you get older. And
that's
so,
another example that you have.
That's like it for me in my life. I mean, at this point, if I'm good at it, I'm good at it. If I suck at it, I'm not doing it anymore, except for this one thing, I feel.
I like that framing. Yeah. Speaking of Michael, I have a question for you, Marissa. I feel like Michael's getting buried in terms of, you know, he's not doing any laundry. He's not making any dinner. Can you give it, can you gaz up Michael? What chores does he do around the house?
I like this.
Can you come back to me? No, oh geez.
I will have to say,
you know, after he went at one point this spring golfing like 8 days in a row, of course I counted. I was like, listen, this is springtime. Football is, you know, a lot lighter for you. You're done at 2 o'clock every day. There is no reason I need to be doing all these things. So he has dabbled in cooking dinner. It takes a very long time. So it's like breakfast basically by the time it's done. It's almost not even worth it. But I will say he is trying to participate in these, household activities. So now we're back in, well, he's coming back today. I'm back in New Jersey already. And, you know, we go to my parents when we're back in New Jersey. So that means the both of us are off household.
Oh, yeah.
That my mom's on TV. Sorry, mom.
Is he with the online, like an Uber Eats or a DoorDash? Is that his thing?
He's a pro.
Listen, that counts.
Yes. He is.
Yeah.
When it comes to finding a restaurant or
that's a big skill.
Yes, he's very good at that. He's like a DoorDash professional. So yeah, I'll gather him up.
That counts.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I thought you guys did a great job with the
what number are we on, Bo?
There's four left. Four left. Okay, we're gonna make it.
All right, we're doing good time here.
I thought you guys did a great job with the conversation of the front office changes.
Thank you.
I thought you explained it all very well. Succinctly, Zach, and so everybody could understand. There's one follow-up question I have that I think listeners might have. We know about Alec Hallaby, how he is, like, you know, in charge of analytics, and I know that he deals with more and than just that. What does John Ferrari do?
So
great question. I don't
know. So there are a number of things. First off, Doug Peterson used to speak about him often as far as game management type stuff. He's a rules expert. Right. So that's one thing. And his expertise, his background from the league office also extends to how you put a team together, because from my understanding, in terms of compliance, you know, whether it's cap compliance, league compliance, really strong in that area as well. But he has a specific game day role. Right. I mean, he's in the booth. He's helping with replays. From my understanding, if you actually, excuse me, if you go to Eagles practice, John Ferrari is not standing on the sideline. John Ferrari is the one spotting the ball, and he's the one making the calls. And you often hear, if you go into our training camp notes from years past, you'll hear players like maybe it's Kelsey or someone else, or Fletcher Cox maybe, they'll scream over at Ferrari if there's a flag thrown when the referees aren't there. So he's really, in terms of like, let's say review situations, challenge situations, he is a big game day
rules expert.
Yes.
Wait, so he's still is he still spotting the ball as the assistant GM?
At practice the other day, yes. He was
really
still, he was still spotting the ball.
That's pretty interesting.
Yes. Yes. And there was a practice last week. There was a deep touchdown, and the offensive players were celebrating, and he like demonstratively threw the flag for a legal celebration. Yeah. And,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
having a little fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Having fun. But that's, your assistant general manager doing that. Right. So that's a,
that seems unusual to me,
but I also think it's that that's not everything he does.
No, that's not everything he does. But you asked,
that's what you said.
Right. No, but there's a lot of, like synergy between the coaching staff and the front office that he is sort of in charge of. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Good question.
So I got a very nice birthday present.
June 11th, by the way, was Bo's birthday.
Thank you. A nice, a new record player. Okay. Which I was very excited about.
That's an awesome gift.
Zach looks, Zach, speak out. Yeah. Zach has something to say here.
Love a vinyl. I don't listen to that much music, but I love it. Love a vinyl. I was putting it together and putting these speakers together. And first of all, one of the records my dad gave me was a like a Marvin Gaye greatest hits. The question is, should I take that as a threat from my dad?
No. Why?
For a dad to give his son a Marvin Gaye record, is that worrisome for me?
Why would that be worrisome?
Because Marvin Gaye's father killed him, shot him. That's how he died.
I thought you were bringing it on back to the vasectomy conversation, a threat to you better be playing, let's get it on. And
well, that's the second part of the story. I'm putting it together like a Sunday afternoon and the speakers are not connected. I'm like turning up the speakers to get as loud as I can, and it's like still very, very faint. And then there's a switch on the back that changes it from like passive speakers to active speakers. Flip the switch, and immediately, like the loudest sound you could possibly hear, reverberates through the neighborhood. You know, it's a row home, and it's Let's Get It On to like the loudest sound you could possibly hear. That's the first track on that side of the album. I thought it was very funny. Like what people must have thought was going on at the Wolf household at 3 o'clock on a Sunday.
If that row home's rocking, don't come a knocking.
Exactly. So no. The reason I laughed when you first brought up the vinyl was shout out to my old beat colleague Jeff McLean. I would always do the customary like, what did you do this weekend? And he would say, I put a record on the vinyl, something like that, right? And so I don't know how you phrase it. What's the phrasing? Yeah. So I do have, out of genuine curiosity, and this goes to the conversation we had on a previous podcast about concerts, is the audio quality like significantly different than if you just played it on your computer or played it? I think it's a little different,
okay. But not like crazily different.
So what's the appeal to it?
I like the physical nature of it. I think it's a nice, yeah, I don't know. Feels good.
Okay.
That's all. Okay, two left.
You play a little I Heard It Through the Grapevine on there? I love
that.
That's
on there. Yeah, What's Going On?
I love the clip of, they remove the music and it's just him singing I Heard It Through the Grapevine. You've heard that, right?
Yes, that's good.
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay, two left. Julian Lurie, just to circle back on him, give me over under 8 years is he in charge, taking over for Jeffrey.
I don't know what Jeffrey's health is, you know, and that kind
of
thing.
Jeffrey looks healthy.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with over. I mean, I think Jeffrey enjoys covering the team. Owning the team.
We could give him a job.
Jeffrey does not enjoy
enjoys owning the team. He's involved. I think that the nature of communication and you know, kind of the work life in 2022 is such that you can do more things remote than maybe he did 15 years ago, let's say. So if he wanted to spend more time in Florida, he can still have, you know, a presence with the operations of the team. So I'm going to go over, but if you like doubled it, if you said 15 or 16, I would go under.
I hope so.
I would say over. I think the exception could be if he really has a what he feels like is the coach who's very stable, you know, like in the Andy Reid mold, where he's like, we're not going to, because I mean, you don't want to saddle Julian with like a coaching search in his first, you know, year or two there. So if it's sort of a weird period in the franchise and you're not sure what's going on, how long the coach is going to last, that kind of thing, then maybe you hang on a little bit longer. But let's say Sirianni just crushes it here the next 4 or 5 years, maybe they win a Super Bowl and you're just like, this is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Maybe you have a quarterback solution. Howie is in place. Then I could see it sooner. But I agree with Zach. I think Jeffrey Lurie, I think the reason he bought a professional football team is because he thinks it's really fun and he likes sports and he thinks it's like, you know, building a team and making these decisions and being in on these decisions and getting, you know, talking to players. Like, I think he finds that, you know, the billions, that doesn't hurt either. But I do think he does enjoy it. So I would say over.
As a frame of reference, Robert Kraft is 81. Jerry Jones is 79. Both are, you know, kind of active owners as we see.
And Jeffrey Lurie is how old?
70.
Okay. Yeah, he's got time.
Okay. That's good news for Marissa and Michael. They've got some time to get those kids.
Yeah, so I got 15 years. Oh man, maybe we should make it. No, just kidding. I think 4 is like.
Okay.
But we'll see.
All right. Last question. Next week's episode. It's gonna be a fun episode. We're gonna do a draft of the NFC. We're gonna each put together a roster of players from the NFC East. So we're gonna draft 3 teams from the 4 NFC East teams. I want to give a little preview for next week. Keep people, you know, on tender hooks, I guess, as it were. Zach, you had the choice of which pick you would have, whether you wanted the first pick, the second pick, or the third pick in a snake draft. I want to give the people a preview by asking you why you made the decision you did.
Because there's a clear I chose the number one pick. To me, there's a clear number one player on my board. There's a player who plays the most important position. I'll just say it. Dak Prescott, okay, plays the most important position on the field, and I think there's the delta between him and the other quarterbacks in the NFC East is such that the number one pick has premium value here. And look, I admittedly don't want to be in a Trey Thomas situation where I force the position because of the way the draft board has gone. And then all of a sudden I'm flustered for the rest of the draft. There's a chance that I already might be flustered about the Christian Ellis situation here, Noah Ellis situation. So
you're going to take Carson Wentz first instead.
Yeah. So no, I like the certainty of having the best quarterback in the division. And then I'll figure out 6-7 thereafter.
I think it was probably the right decision, but we'll see how it plays out on next week's episode of Birds with Friends.
Which we're recording in 2 minutes, by the way.
Real quick, right. I do need to mention Michael's very good at taking the trash out. I thought of one.
That's okay. A big one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Real quick.
It would also be really dastardly if he was making you take out the trash.
No. Yeah. That's where I
draw. Why? What is that supposed to mean? What's wrong with that?
He's an offensive lineman. He should be able to like bench press the trash, use it as like lifting. Truck.
We have to drive our trash out.
Really?
It's in the complex, but it's like not right by our apartment. So yeah, I don't want to put that gross stuff in my new car.
I have always wondered, you know, when you read these stories of these players who get traded or like change teams, it seems like the spouse does everything in those households. Yeah. You know, they have to like pack up and move. They're always handling all the bills. Like I can't speak for every household, but it seems like it's very one-sided in terms of the responsibilities that the spouse takes on.
Zach, you're yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's very one-sided, but I will say, you know, he is working very hard. So am I, but no.
yes, you are too. Yes.
No. But you know, their time commitments are so different and the hours are insane. But yeah, I know a lot of the other girls that have a lot when they move, it's all falls on them, especially if they have kids too. Like, it's crazy. So shout out to all the amazing wives out there, including all your wives.
I will double down on that shout out.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. I like that. Okay. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll be back next week with our NFC East draft. And until then, as always, for Zach, Sheil, Marissa, and Elijah. We love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.